Welcome to this Krana Plus podcast, supporting and educating rural and remote health workers.
Health professionals in rural and regional areas are highly valued by their local communities, and even more so in times of drought and bushfire. During stressful events, though, it makes it even harder to switch off and focus on self-care. So, how do you find that balance? It's something I discussed with psychologist Dr. Simon Kinsella when he joined me in the Krana Plus studio.
I think the biggest difference between a rural practitioner and a city-based practitioner is the connection to the local community and having multiple roles in the lives of patients. So I know from the connection that I do have with the regional community that if you're a doctor in a regional area, then there's a high chance that you've been involved with your patients' lives for a very long period of time, not only as their doctor, but you might even be sitting with them on a committee in a local school. You might be working with them in the council potentially. You might be involved in a local sports club. And so the connections that you have are much more diverse, and it really increases the sense of obligation to people and the sense that you'll be there for them.
So that makes it very difficult to turn off and disentangle, I'd imagine.
Well, that's right. If you feel like you're very committed to people and you feel like people really heavily depend on you, then it's very difficult to say no or to not be available to them, particularly if you as a practitioner know that their other options are really limited. Perhaps there's not a 24-hour emergency clinic somewhere, or there's not other resources available to them.
That's a good point. Versus the city, which does have a lot of other options, this must often result in a sense of increased obligation for health practitioners in rural and regional areas.
Yeah, I think rural practitioners feel a huge sense of obligation because they're painfully aware of the situation around resourcing, and whether that's facilities like hospitals or the number of practitioners available, even the medical equipment that's available to them. So they're very aware of what the circumstances are, both for themselves and their patients. And of course, because they have these multiple connections and they feel perhaps a greater sense of obligation, there's a greater emotional burden on them to just keep giving.
Simon, what about personal isolation for regional practitioners? Because often they may not actually be from that area.
Yeah, look, the other issue for regional practitioners is there's a lot more isolation, both personally, because often they might be living with their nuclear family, but they might also have family members spread out over a much wider region, whether it's in other country towns nearby or even having relatives that are living in other states or other cities. As a result, there's fewer people that are close to them to provide support to them. And then, of course, there's also professional isolation. If you're a city practitioner, you can go to professional development meetings, for example, where you might interact with 30 or 60 or 100 other practitioners. If you work in a regional area, first of all, there's fewer of those professional development opportunities available. And second, there's going to be fewer people at them. So there's less input coming back in to help both nourish you personally with your personal relationships, but also support you professionally.
I'm guessing also there's a lack of anonymity, and occasionally that's really helpful for just turning off, isn't it?
Well, that's right. If you're working in a regional community, you can't go and buy your groceries without being recognised by patients, and you know, you can't walk down the street necessarily without being stopped for a conversation. And you know, at some level that can be really nice because you feel a sense of connection to people, but on another level, there's that whole issue of people potentially approaching you to talk about medical things, or even just being triggered to think, oh, there's Joe. I saw Joe the other day. I've been meaning to follow up on some test results. So you're not actually, in a sense, being given permission to switch off because you're constantly being triggered to think about work. So it can be quite difficult, and it's quite a skill, I think, that people learn to separate themselves from work when they're outside of their clinical practice.
That makes quite a differentiation then, doesn't it, between, you know, being a health professional in a regional or rural community as opposed to just being an ordinary member of the community?
Well, that's right. And health professionals, anybody with a higher level of education, I suppose, who's got professional skills to bring to a community is going to effectively have a special status and is going to be relied on very heavily, because there just naturally is a smaller proportion or smaller number of those people with professional skills in those communities.
Simon, if you're virtually constantly on, what are some tips then for rural and regional health professionals to protect themselves?
Really key things about protecting yourself is setting limits. So setting limits on availability, for example. Now, I know a lot of rural practitioners will kind of roll their eyes and think, well, that's just not possible because we're under-resourced and I have to be available because the community expects it and they need me and they're so appreciative of me. But it's really important for practitioners to recognise that by setting limits on your availability, it gives you time to look after yourself and it gives you time to look after your family. It gives you time to nurture the personal and family relationships, and you want to put yourself in a position where you're able to maintain a level of service to the community over a long period of time. By not setting limits, people put themselves at far greater risk of burning out. And when people burn out, it takes a long time to recover. The other important things people can do is try to stay as connected as possible to colleagues, to share ideas and resources, to try to nurture interests outside work. So it might be hobbies, it might be staying involved in sport, it might be something more in the field of arts or cultural activities. But staying connected to those things helps to bring balance to a person's life. But also doing what I call a regular checkup from the neck up, where you actually take time to take stock and to think about, am I getting enough sleep? Do I feel happy? Do I wake up feeling energetic? How often do I feel down? What's the quality of my relationships like? Am I using alcohol too much to calm myself down? Or am I using coffee too much to keep myself awake and to keep myself engaged? It's those kinds of indicators, if you like, that let us know perhaps when we're starting to go off track. And along with that sort of self-check, it doesn't hurt to check in with other people, particularly checking in with your loved ones and saying, well, how do you think I'm going? Do you think I'm coping with what's going on? And how are you coping with the workload that I'm under? So really asking you, particularly your partners, are they still happy with how much you have to give to work, how much time work takes up? Or is your commitment to work damaging your relationship?
Dr. Simon Kinsella, thank you very much for your time and for joining me in the Krana Plus studio.
That's my pleasure.